Good morning, and we're glad to be together this morning, and I appreciate all the men who step up and lead in our services, and the beautiful women's voices, and the women like Melissa who teach Bible class during our morning class. By all of us working together, we have a beautiful day together and a beautiful service. So thank you all. And I would really like to meet this Oliver who is reading the book of Revelation. That sounds really neat. We've enjoyed on our Thursday night class at Margaret's house, the two young people that are in the class, Jaden and his sister Taylor, and the questions that they have been asking. Really good questions at the end of our class each week. This morning I'd like for us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and beginning with verse 8 down through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 8 through 18. And I'm going to begin by reading those verses. He said, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus." The Apostle Paul here goes right down to the bottom line with Timothy and talking about the things that are most important. It seems that all of us in our lives hear so many things each day. So many different facts and figures and bits of information and sound bites that it's easy for our minds to become cluttered and we run the risk of forgetting the things that are most important and getting distracted from those. The Apostle Paul here in writing to Timothy, these are his last words. His last message that he wrote, and he doesn't have anything trivial to say here in this letter. It is all very vital as he is a prisoner and he is expected to die before long. He's writing to his young friend and close associate Timothy the things that are so important and so vital for his life. And this morning we want to talk about this thought that being unashamed not being ashamed of Jesus Christ, the gospel, or of Paul himself, who is now in prison for his testimony of Jesus Christ. So what does it mean in our lives today to be unashamed? As we know that Jesus talked about the fact that we are to confess His name before men, and that if we confess His name before men, He will confess our name before His Father in heaven. But He said, if you are ashamed of me and of my words before men, then I will be ashamed of you in the day when you stand before me to confess you to my Father in heaven. Paul was concerned here of the fact that Timothy might be giving in to some of that fear and that intimidation of the pressure of, as Paul was being arrested and put in prison, and things were changing throughout the Roman Empire. The Emperor Nero now was sending out a persecution against Christians, and that was growing, that it would affect, and it would be discouraging to Timothy, and seeing many other Christians defecting from the faith, what that might cause Timothy to feel inside of himself. So he's writing really to encourage Timothy and to encourage him to remain faithful to Christ and to not be ashamed. So as we begin, we look in verse 8, and Paul's first thought here that he made is to take courage, for Timothy to have courage. And he said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, the gospel. Do not be ashamed, Timothy, to testify of Jesus Christ, to continue on preaching Jesus Christ as you have been doing. And do not be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Now that I am in prison and have been arrested, and there may be others who are going to be arrested, but he says, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. So Timothy, he is urging Timothy to be willing to risk his own safety for the cause of Christ, to stand firm, to be strong, to not yield into these fears. You remember that at the end of verse 7 in the lesson we saw last Sunday morning, Paul had told Timothy, he said, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said, therefore, do not be ashamed. So, as God has given us this inner power and this inner strength, which is a promise for all of us as Christians, that what does God give us? He gives us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God gives us the ability to do what He asks us to do. He gives us the inner strength and power to perform these things. He enables us. And He gives us the power to love people. He gives us the power to have a clear and sound mind, to think clearly and wisely, and to apply His Word in the daily situations that we find ourselves in life. So with these equipping of God that He has provided to us, we should not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Himself had said that His followers, that we would face the hatred of the world. And He said that you are my followers and I have called you, and it is because the world has hated me. If the world has hated me, he said, the world will hate you also. If you were of the world, the world would love you, Jesus said. But because I have chosen you and called you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And we see that still happening today, that as the followers of Jesus, we are not of the world. And therefore, we often draw the ire and the animosity of the world around us. And there's a pressure in that to conform to the world. But the scripture tells us, be not conformed to the world. We are to belong to God and be faithful to Him. So he says, share in the sufferings with me for the gospel according to the power of God. Now when he brings up the gospel here, the Apostle Paul goes now to remind Timothy of some of the important details of the gospel so that this is fresh in our minds as we think about we're being called to suffer for the gospel and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. But as we think about the gospel, it's good for us to remind ourselves of why the gospel is so powerful and so wonderful for us, to commit ourselves to that as the goal and purpose and the identity of who we are. You know, there's people today that go on the internet, and almost daily, I believe, is probably true, looking for their identity and looking to establish their identity. And yet, as Christians, we are followers of Jesus Christ. And our identity comes from the gospel. As Paul is reminding Timothy of this, that take your identity, Timothy, from the gospel. That's who you are. That's who we are. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now, God has saved us. So at the time that Paul is writing here, this is an accomplished fact in Timothy's life. It is an accomplished fact in our life that God has saved us. He has delivered us from the wrath of hell due to our sins. And he has at the same time called us to a holy life that we are to live. Now, what does that mean in terms of the world? What does it mean in terms of the pressure that the world places to conform, to line up with what the world is calling for? It means that we are to be different, that we are to belong to God, and we have a holy calling in our life. Now, he reminds us it is not something that we deserved. It is not something that we had anything to do with. This was what God accomplished for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It was according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us before time began. We're reminded here that God's plan and his purpose goes back before the creation of the world. That before time began, God purposed to save us through Jesus Christ. And of his grace, through what he would do for us, what he would accomplish for us, not through what we would accomplish for ourselves. It was because God had this purpose that we have been saved and called with this holy calling. But he said it has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now this word abolished is a word that really means it has rendered death powerless or impotent, that death still is a reality. He's not saying that death has no longer exists or that death does not happen to us in our lives, but God has abolished the power over death that it had because of sin to hold us. And God has, through Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth and then He gave His life for us through His death on the cross and through His resurrection from the dead, God has abolished, Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that is the beauty of the gospel, that the gospel brings to us and establishes the hope that we have of life beyond this life. And when Peter is writing in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he makes reference to this also there. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." This is what the gospel has accomplished then for us. And that is the reason why Paul is saying we need to suffer. Be ready to suffer for the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And so he continues there, and he said, "To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Notice Paul here saying, "I am not ashamed, Timothy. And I want you not to be ashamed of the gospel or the testimony of Jesus Christ." He said, "I suffer these things. I am His prisoner." Back there in verse 8, it's significant, I believe, that he says, "Do not be ashamed of me, His prisoner." So Paul is saying, "I'm not really a prisoner of Rome, Timothy. I am a prisoner of Jesus. The reason that I am in prison is because of my faithfulness to Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of that in any way." He later refers to his chain that he has as a prisoner, but I am Jesus' prisoner, and therefore I am not ashamed of that. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day." So what an encouragement it is to be a Christian and to know that Christ is faithful and He is able to keep what we commit to Him, and He's also able to commit to keep what He has committed to us, His Word, His Gospel. And that if Paul died, they were safe with God. Paul's soul was safe with God. And he committed himself to Christ. And that's what we do as we serve Him today. We make a commitment to Jesus, and we make a commitment that our soul and our eternity is being placed in Jesus' hands. He is able to keep that until that day. So we should have no fear. We should not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this question, each one of us this morning. Have you ever been ashamed of Jesus? Have you ever been ashamed to speak up and let it be known that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you ever been in a situation where, due to the pressure of the people in the room around you, you felt that you had to remain silent? You had to hold that back, to not let anyone know. "I hope no one knows that I'm a Christian." Well, I hope that none of us ever yield to that type of pressure. It's something that as human beings is easy for us to do, to give in to that fear, to hold back, to become timid and shy, and not want to make a boldness of who we are in our faith in Christ. But Paul is encouraging Timothy here. He says, Timothy, don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm a prisoner, but I have no regret for what I am doing and what I have done. So in verse 13, he tells Timothy now that his job is to guard the truth. He said, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now, Christians, we have a pattern here of healthy words. This comes from the teaching of Christ, Jesus Christ, His words. It comes through the prophets of the Old Testament. It comes through the apostles as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So there's a pattern of sound words, healthy words, which he said you have heard from me. Those things, Timothy, that you have heard from Paul, keep those, guard those, protect those, hold fast to them. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now, he reminds Timothy that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that is going to help us be strong, and it's going to help us guard the truth and preserve the truth that has been revealed to us. But there's two things here that Paul is reminding Timothy, that Christ is able to keep what we give to Him, that is our life, but also the Spirit here on earth helps us keep what Christ has given to us. And that is among all things most important is God's Word that, Matt, you did a beautiful job talking about this morning, that the words that God has revealed to us, in every generation, it's our responsibility to guard those, to guard them against from being corrupted, that is, through distortion of the Scriptures, or diluting them, watering them down, adding to the Scriptures, taking away from the Scriptures. And this is a constant challenge for us as Christians to guard and protect and preserve the truth of God's Word in our generation today. As we think of our children and our grandchildren that are coming and will be here after we're gone, that we want to do everything that we can to preserve the truth and pass it on to them. That is such a great responsibility that is given here to Timothy as he was to preach God's Word. He was to proclaim the testimony of Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, I was appointed to this, to be a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. God entrusted that to us. Now we need to guard it and keep it and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us in that undertaking and in that endeavor to keep the Scriptures pure. God has given us His Word in a pure form, and it's inspired, and He has preserved His Word down through the centuries. But it's up to us to take God's Word, to preserve it, to keep it faithfully to what God says in His Word, not add to it or take away from it. But now there is a clear choice that is put before Timothy here in these closing verses. And I want us to think about the contrast here, that there are There really are two types of people when it comes to being ashamed of Jesus Christ. And it's true today, just as it was in that first century, that people are either ashamed of Christ or they stand up and let it be known, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Which one are you this morning? There are some who, like it says in verse 15, he says, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, we don't know anything more about these two men, but it's assumed from the wording that they had been faithful Christians. And now they were no longer faithful Christians. He said, all those in Asia have turned away from me. Once Paul was arrested, that caused a dramatic shift in faith and confidence behind the Apostle Paul. We can understand how that would be true. That would be a scary thing to happen. Just like it was when Jesus, the night Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And later on that same night, we see the Apostle Peter sitting by the fire. And as people began to question him, he said, no, I don't even know this man. Well, there were people doing that in Paul's day here, as he makes clear that all of those in Asia have turned away from me. They are no longer standing faithful. They don't want to be implicated in this. Because once the Roman Empire began arresting people like Paul, they were going to look with suspicion to anyone that was in any way associated with the name of Jesus Christ. So many people, what were they doing? They were leaving. They didn't want to face that kind of possible persecution. Now these are some of the same people that we're told in the book of Acts chapter 19. When the Apostle Paul was preaching in Ephesus, he had a prolonged time there of 3 years preaching in Ephesus. And part of that time it said daily in the school of Tyrannus, he was teaching the word of God. And it goes on to say that during that time, all Asia heard the word of the Lord. Many people were converted to Christ because this was a time that the truth of the gospel was just sweeping through the country. And people were hearing about Christ and they were turning away from idols like the Temple of Diana. And they were burning their books in the streets. But now, Paul has been arrested. And things have changed dramatically. But I'm asking each one of us this morning, if that were you, if you were one of those Christians, or if that same thing began to happen today, where would you take your stand? Where would each one of us be? Would we still be meeting here this morning to proclaim and praise Jesus Christ? Or would we be some of those that went into hiding at that time because they didn't want any association to be known of them? But he makes a contrast here between those deserters and one man who stood out who was faithful. And his name was Onesiphorus. It said, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Now, Onesiphorus here must have been an amazing person. And his family, his household, all of them, how they stood by the Apostle Paul so bravely and without any ashamedness on their part. They were from Ephesus, Onesiphorus was one of the members of the church here in Ephesus. And apparently he had shown hospitality to the Apostle Paul and kindness during that time. How many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. But when Paul was arrested, Onesiphorus journeyed to Rome. And when he arrived there, he started looking for the Apostle Paul, and he did not give up until he had found him. You imagine that, too, that he went and sought out the Apostle Paul in the prison and so that he could come and encourage him and possibly pray for him. What a wonderful example that was for Timothy to be reminded. You need to look at examples, Timothy, that are strong. Look at my example and look at the example of Onesiphorus. It was a refreshing ministry that he demonstrated in his life. He refreshed the Apostle Paul. And that is something that we all should strive to be of, a living as a Christian, where we refresh others and strengthen them and encourage them in their faith. You know, in the 1992 Olympics, an amazing thing happened. This was in Barcelona, Spain. And in the 400 meters, there was this runner, Derek Redmond, from Great Britain. And the thing that had happened was that in the 1988 Olympics, Derek Redmond was in the finals of the 400 meter. But as he was preparing to run the race, he was actually in the blocks, ready for the start of the race. He realized that his Achilles tendon was not going to allow him to run. And so he stood up and he disqualified himself and withdrew from the race in the 1988 Olympics. Well, Derek Redmond then, for the next 4 years, he trained relentlessly day after day to prepare for the 1992. And now he was in the semifinals of the 92 400 meters in Barcelona. And as the gun sounded, he began racing, and he was among the leaders. He was right at the beginning, but then his hamstring tore right there in the middle of the race, and he collapsed and fell to the turf. And yet, Derek Redmond got back up from the ground, and he began to limp the rest of the 400 meters. All the other runners had completed the race at this time, but the crowds began cheering and applauding him on as he ran. But then, in the last 100 meters, an amazing thing happened. Someone came running out of the stands to support him, and it was his own father, Jim Redmond. And he ran to his son and embraced him and held him in his arms throughout the rest of the race until his son finished the 400 meters. And it was one of the truly great moments in the Olympics, where sometimes the one who wins the race, even the champion runner, is not as commendable in many ways as what the crowds saw happening there that day with his father supporting his son. And you know, 30 years later, in just October of 2022, Jim Redmond died at the age of 81. But that story to me really touched my heart when I think about that father helping his son, coming out of the stands to stand proudly next to his son and support him in that way. Well, that is what the Apostle Paul was doing here with Timothy. Paul was in prison. He was not going to live much longer. But he was writing to encourage his son Timothy to remain faithful and to not give up in finishing that race that he had begun. And you know, that's what God wants each one of us to be doing as we live today and we face some of the challenges of being a Christian in today's world that we live in, God wants us to be encouragers. He wants us to reach out and help others through our own example of our courage to not be ashamed of Jesus, but to stand faithfully and bravely for the truth and encourage others to do the same through seeing the courage and the boldness that we have. So, three times here in 2 Timothy 1, Paul talks about, do not be ashamed. He said, Timothy, do not be ashamed. I am not ashamed. And Onesiphorus, he was not ashamed. Each one of us today has that choice that we are to make, whether to be ashamed of Jesus Christ or to be unashamed, to stand and let it be known that we are certainly bravely and joyfully followers of this one who gave his life for us, and of this purpose that God has for us through his grace to be able to overcome death and live with him in eternity. Thank you for your attention this morning. We're going to close the lesson by extending the invitation. If you are here today, anyone, and subject to Jesus and his invitation, we invite you to come now as we stand together and sing number 756.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.